Hello and welcome to the Blue Toon Podcast, the podcast where we discuss all things Peterhead Football Club. Joining me again is Martin Smith. So Martin, we've had a couple of days to digest last Saturday's result away to Stranraer. A good result all round.
Yeah, really good result. It's a long trek to go down to Stranraer. It was good that Scott Brown, player from midfield, we got two goals. Rory McAllister can sometimes look like a lone figure up top. He does need that support. So it was really pleasing that it was a midfielder that came good with the goods.
And he played the same team as last weekend against Forfar, and he seems to be sticking with this 4-1-4-1 formation.
Yeah, if it's a formation that's going to work and he wants to stay with it, if he can get the same team and maintain a bit of consistency throughout, then hopefully it'll work out pretty well.
And we seem to be a bit more solid than we were last season, even at this early stages. So I think our hearts were in our mouths when we went 2-0 up quite early on, given what happened to us against Dumbarton.
Yeah, I seen the score coming through on Saturday. I was quite pleased. We were 2-0 up. Sounded like we were cruising in the game a little bit, and then obviously they got the goal back. We then had our captain sent off, which really didn't help matters. So it was good that we've managed to hang on for the win. McAnally said after the game he didn't think we were really tested that much. So it was pleasing to hear that he's quite happy with the defence. He thought it was quite comfortable even going down a man. So it was really pleasing.
Yeah, well, I think we'll touch on Rory McAllister sending off a little bit, because I want to go into that a little bit more detail. But with the 4-1-4-1 formation, he's playing Jack Leach slightly wider than he has been last season, but he was sitting maybe behind the front two. He's now wider on the right. Is that a position you think he's going to be suited, or do you think he needs to be sitting behind a front two, for example?
I think if he's going to stick with the formation of the 4-1-4-1, it is a position out wide that Jack Leach does like, and he will thrive upon it. He scored the other week coming in from inside. If he does go to a slightly more adventurous formation, he does want to go with a player in behind Rory McAllister, then Jack Leach could be the person to do it. He can play right across that front part, the park. So I would like to see him maybe slightly further forward, depending on the formation that McAnally is going to continue with.
And the midfield options we've got, he's almost overly blessed with midfield talent. So maybe just trying this five, if you like, in midfield just to get players game time, maybe.
Yeah, it might be about game time. I think also it's if he's going to be a team that we're going to do well, we've got to get that solid foundation, and sometimes putting an extra player in midfield, especially in League One, we want to get points on the board nice and early. So I think at the moment I like his team, I like the 4-1-4-1. I think it does play into our hands, but as you mentioned, we have got players that we are blessed with in midfield: Fraser, Cy Ferry, Scott Brown, and if they can chip in with a few goals as well, it'll certainly help take the workload off the strikers.
You did mention McAnally's post-match. He did say that we weren't tested that much. I would tend to disagree slightly with that, because I think they hit the post at least two occasions, which would suggest that we were being tested to some extent.
I think we were tested maybe slightly more than what we might have liked to have been, but I think the defence coped well. We've mentioned that we did go a man down, so it was really pleasing that we have held on. Obviously in previous games we'll have, you know, a two-goal lead slip we did the other week. So I think it shows a bit more consistency, the team gelling that a little bit more, a bit more switched on at the back. We spoke that we wanted that to be a starting block for us to go on this season. So we need a strong defence. And that was a prime example on Saturday. You've gone away from home. Tricky place to go to. We've gone 2-0 up. They've come back. We've then got a man sent off. So to not conceding another goal and go away with 3 points is really good.
I mean, this is a team that might be the most inconsistent team, but at home they will be difficult to beat. They did beat league leaders Wraith a couple of weeks ago, so there are going to be no mugs at home. So given our record doing there as well, it's quite a decent result to get all round, I would think. But getting on to the negative side then, McAllister's sending off for what we deem to be foul and abusive language, I think the official term is. I noted that McAnally said after that he hears players swearing quite a lot at referees during games. It's not an excuse, or was it the manner that it was said, do you think?
I think it probably was the manner that it was said. By all accounts, in Marcanelli's post-match report, he says that, in his interview, he says that McAllister ran up to the referee. I think McAllister, he's an experienced player. He's got to set an example to the younger players in the squad, and I don't think running up to the referee and swearing is going to help the situation. I don't think it's called for. Younger players looking up to McAllister on the team will think, well, is that deemed acceptable? And probably the referee's right to send him off. You know, you're taught from a young age, don't go up to the referee and demand things, swear at the referees, show them a bit of respect. So yeah, he's probably right to get sent off, and he's really fortunate that it hasn't cost us 3 points in the end.
I mean, he is the captain after all, so you're right, he should be setting an example. The guys like your Ben Armours, your Aidan Smiths, these are the kind of guys that are, we hope could be playing for us for the next 2 or 3 years, so they're going to be looking at him as an example. And if he's going to be getting himself sent off for disagreeing with referees, but we've seen him this season already, tail end of last season in particular. He seems to be a bit more agitated than he used to be, and he gets involved with the referees, he gets involved with our players. Obviously at Balmour we can see or hear things quite clearly at times, so it's a strange one. You would have thought, being a younger kind of player, you would think, well, he's young, he needs to learn the game, but Rory's of an age now where he's been around the block, he's seen it all. So is there a reason for it? Is the captaincy pressure? Is the pressure of winning last season getting to him? Other factors, maybe? It seems strange that he's suddenly being a bit more, for lack of a better term, being mouthy.
Yeah, it's a really good point, actually. You just wonder if the captaincy is weighing a wee bit heavily on him. He is a really experienced player. For a player, not only an experienced player, but the captain, the man that sets the example, he sets the tone for the team. If he's not happy with the referee's decision, by all means, as a captain, he can approach the referee, but there's a manner to do it. And when your manager comes out publicly and says that he felt you were wrong because you've run up to the referee, then that tells you that he's not happy with him. So I can't imagine his teammates being overly happy either. It doesn't set a good example. We could quite easily have conceded another goal late on, drop points, you're further down the table. I think he is lucky that we did come out with a win, or else there could have been a lot more said about it.
It was sort of in and out of the team quite a lot last season. He's still passionate. He wants to do well, but he just needs to kind of control himself, and he's not maybe got to be as influential in games as what he'd maybe like to be.
Yeah, I like his passion, but I think there is a fine line between showing your passion and then just going over that line of discipline. You can be passionate and disagree with a decision, but that doesn't give a player, especially of his experience, an excuse to go up and mouth off at the referee, and that's ultimately the reason he was sent off. And that's poor from the captain. You'd expect a bit better from him.
So it'll likely be a one game. It might be two, but it'll be one game. So in that sense, then he's going to miss the game against the Wraith in a couple of weeks' time. And so up front there, that could have an opportunity for Derek Lyle to get back into the team. He's been out injured. Or are we going to expect, say, Aidan Smith to be playing up there?
I would like to see Aidan Smith given a run. I think Derek Lyle, he doesn't really give you the pace and behind that I feel that other players can. I think defences can push further up, which squeezes a game. Might work in our favour with the three in midfield, with the range of passing that we've got, but I would like to see Aidan Smith get a start.
To be fair on Derek, he has approached 40, so he's
never
been
as
fast
as
he used to be.
No, that's correct.
But he will still get you a goal. He can still jump as high as any other the players we've got. But on the bench on Saturday was our new signing, David Ferguson. It was one that kind of came out of the blue on Saturday morning. Released from Ayr on Friday, and then signed for Peterhead. A Motherwell youth product, another one.
quite excited with the arrival of David Ferguson. As you touched upon there, he came out with the blues, seeing the news on Saturday morning. A player who's he's played a few games in League One, so I'm really looking forward to seeing him when he does get into the team. Obviously, he came on the other day. We spoke last week the ages in the team that the Raiders are quite young or really experienced. So he's come in 23. I think a really good age and can play anywhere across the back. Looked on social media on Saturday evening about some of the AIR supporters, what they thought of David Ferguson. It was quite clear that some felt he could do a job for them, and some were really disappointed that he decided to go. He was released, and they were quite sad that he left. So, I think he's been a good signing for us.
It's another one of those that you can see that Jim's obviously bringing these players in and almost saying to them, like, give us a year, showcase your talents, and then you'll get a move maybe somewhere else, or if you're happy here, we'll give you another year. It's a win-win for everybody, I think.
Yeah, it's one of them situations. If a player plays really well, he'll get a move to another team or a division higher. We've gotten the rewards of the player having a really good season, which could push us up into the promotion playoffs. And whilst Peterhead have a good season, the player gets a good season, he's got a contract, then he can move on to another club if he wishes to do so.
I mean, Ryan Dow's the perfect example. I mean, he was asked to drop down a couple of divisions and now he's back playing in the Championship with Dunfermline. So, Jim and his team must be selling the club and its facilities for these players to travel all the way up to Peterhead every second week or every week, because these guys are coming from a long distance. Willie Gibson, we said last week, he's travelling up from Dumfries every weekend. So he must be saying something, doing something to sell the club, which seems to be working for him.
Yeah, Peterhead for some of the players will be a fair trek coming up north. I think the players will also realise that they've been released by clubs maybe in the Premier League or the Championship. It gives them a showcase to go and perform. If they play really well for us, they will get a move, they will get recognised by another team, and they can get a move closer to their homes. We'll reap the rewards of that if they play well.
And somebody like David Ferguson, who's played 16 times for Motherwell, for example, in the Premier League, okay, you're saying 16 appearances, but that's still experience he's got from playing with players at a higher level. He's playing at training facilities that are far better than what we've got here in Peterhead. So when he comes in, something like that, he can obviously pass on his experiences to some of the guys around about him as well.
Yeah, Motherwell have got a really good record with our youth facilities of players that they can produce. If he has played 16 times, we will benefit from that. He can pass on some of the knowledge that he's picked up, even with the other teams that he's played for out on loan. I think he will be good. It just depends when he gets a game, if he's going to be playing in the left back area or whether he plays right. I think that will have a big bearing on how he performs.
And if he's any as good as the last player we've got as a Motherwell youth and Jack Leach, he'll be doing quite well.
Yeah, Jack's been really good since he came in, so if we can get something similar from David Ferguson, then we'll be really pleased, I think, both of us.
I will be very happy. So, free weekend this weekend for two reasons, really. One, the debacle of the Tunnocks Wafer Cup, which we won't mention again, and of course, the Scotland playing this weekend as well. You and I have kind of spoke over the last few years about our lack of interest, shall we say, in the national team for one reason or another. So does the new manager give you any more inspiration, or are we still at the same?
Yeah, I've got one eye on the internationals this weekend. I'm interested to see how Steve Clarke does. It's really not easy games, home to Russia, home to Belgium. I struggle to see where we're going to get any points from out of that two fixtures. They look really, really tough.
I mean, Belgium sitting at top with four wins out of four. It will be difficult. The squad itself, the squad was announced last week. They said changes already after the fixtures at the weekend. One that did kind of surprise me was Mikey Devlin back in again, even though he's only played one game for Aberdeen's for the last few while. Another example, maybe, or a better example, and I know he's slightly older than what Devlin is, would have been Andy Constantine. Constantine plays week in, week out. He's a passionate kind of guy. Obviously, I'm not saying he's international quality, but you look at somebody who plays week in, week out, is that not a better choice than, say, Mikey Devlin?
Yeah, I would have thought so. I would have liked to have thought that Constantine would have been in Steve Clark's thoughts somewhere down the line. Devlin just coming back from injury, he's not going to be match fit. He's going up against top international players in the games at Russia and Belgium. I think it is a risk. I don't think he'll play. I think he is there as a squad player and as backup. I would be very surprised if he played any part in the fixtures.
The biggest thing that for me about the Scotland national team in the last few years was, even though we're installing new managers, it was always the same players that was getting picked, regardless of their form, regardless of who they were playing for. It was always the same guys coming in, and the results never changed. Steve Clark's obviously got a slightly different philosophy. He's bringing in players who are being picked based on form, I would think. Or is he slightly going back the same way again? Is he still going to pick the same players?
I think you've got to pick players who are playing for their club week in, week out, and who have got a bit of form. A player sitting on the bench, for argument's sake, at their club the last 2, 3, 4 weeks even, just as the season started, you want them to be up to full speed. International football can be quick pace. That's why I think he's got to pick players that are playing for the club, and he's got to stick with them. He's got to trust in them that they will do a job, not reverting back to the players who, because they've maybe played in the Premier League or sitting on the bench, they could be better. There is better players, argument's sake, playing in the Scottish Premier League or playing in Championship in England. He's got to stick with them and give them a shot.
So, any predictions for the results?
Results-wise, not being a pessimist, I would struggle to see us getting anything from Belgium. I know the game's at home, and you'd like to think the crowd would be behind Scotland for that. I can't see us getting anything. At best, maybe a point at home to Russia. But that'll be one of them games where I can see the first goal being so crucial in that game. If Scotland can get it, you never know. Crowd behind them on a Friday night, everyone will be up for that. But me personally, I can't see us getting much from either of them.
I'm going to be slightly more optimistic. I think we're going to get 3 points out of the two games. Which 3 points and where, I don't know, but I think we're going to get 3 points. More likely it will be the Russia game. But you never know. You catch Belgium off guard early on, you never know what's going to happen.
You predicted a win in either of the games. Where do you see a goal coming from the Scotland team? That's my biggest concern, yeah, when I look at the team, is, yeah, where's the goals coming from?
Yeah, I mean, goals is obviously going to be a problem. We've only scored 4 in the 4 games so far, and conceding 7, so it is going to be difficult. You're asking players who aren't out and out goal scorers to get you the goals. Obviously, Lee Griffiths is still going to be a mess, and Steve Clark saying that he expected them to play more games for Celtic first before he gets them back into the team. I think he still would have done us a job for these two games, even though he maybe isn't as regular at Celtic as we'd like, because he's an international quality player. You saw what he did with his 2 free kicks against England. Anybody else in that team would not have scored that. So yeah, he's going to be a mess. Goals is going to be tricky. Where they're going to come from, I don't know. I really, really, really don't know. I've been optimistic. I still think we're going to get a win. If it's a 1-0 and it's an own goal, hey, it's 3 points. That's all I'm really caring about. So, free weekend this weekend. Next weekend, we've got Wraith, who are top of the table. I'm minty away from that, but how do you see that going? What's the early predictions?
I think on the back of an away win against Stranraer, we did look more solid. I think we can go down there. I think we can get a positive result. I'm going to say we can win that game. It will be tough, although they lost last weekend to East Fife, so they are they'll be wanting to come back with a strong performance. They are top of the league. It looks like they might be one of the teams that challenge Falkirk at the top. Tough game, but I think we can do it.
Weirdly, their two losses have been against teams that you would expect them to beat, in Stranraer and East Fife. But they've obviously both been away from home. At home, slightly different, a bit more solid. So it is going to be tough for the boys down there. Over the season, do you think they're going to be at the top, or do you think they maybe fall away, or will they run away with the championship, do you think?
For me personally, I think Falkirk will win the league. I think Raith will be up there. They'll be one of the teams to challenge. They'll certainly be in the playoffs, I would think. I think they'll give Falkirk a good run for their money, maybe until the turn of the year, and then I think Falkirk, they will probably look to spend a little bit more money in January if things aren't going their way, and I think because of that, they will then push on if not done so already.
I mean, the league table as it stands at the moment, obviously Forfar and East Fife are still a game in hand, but the rest of all played five, and from top down to seventh, there's only 2 points in it. So it just shows you that everybody's is capable of taking points off of each other.
Yeah, so it's a really competitive league. You've just said there are 2 points the difference. I think it just shows you that there will be no easy game in this division. You said that Raith, their losses, where they come from, I think any team can beat anybody on their day. Montrose have yet to get a win, but they did really well last season. I think they'll still come good. I think it's an exciting league. Other than Falkirk, who I think will win the league, I think you could argue a case for anybody to sort of be in and around the playoffs or just outside it.
Yeah, it's totally up for grabs. I think we'll expect Falkirk to kick on. Although Ray McKinnon is under pressure already from the Falkirk fan. In fact, I think he was under pressure after the first game at Balmrove when they drew 0-0. So whether or not it's going to be him towards the end of the season, it's going to carry on or not. They might bring in somebody else, who knows. But yeah, it's going to be much more difficult than a lot of people were expecting. You even look at the table, Dumbarton sitting second, and they've got a -3 goal difference. So it's definitely one of those fixtures or one of those leagues that anybody can win and take points off each other. So the vital is these home games, and get as many points at home as you possibly can. Well, I think that's enough from us on this edition. We're all get ourselves ready, get our kilts on, ready to cheer on the Scotland boys on Friday. We'll be back again with a more in-depth preview for the Raith game next weekend. And so I hope we've all enjoyed it again. And cheers. Bye.